This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
We've listened to Kirk Franklin, but now we're talking with Kirk Franklin today on Good Christian Fun. Welcome to Good Christian Fun. I'm Kevin.
I'm Caroline.
And we're here to have some good Christian fun. Good Christian Fun is a podcast about Christian pop culture in which we talk to the pop culture. We say, hey, pop culture, do you want to come on the show for a fun little interview?
Hey, if you were a pillar of this industry, you're going to need to come on GCF. It's
if
sort
you're
of like
a gospel icon. So obviously, this was unprecedented for us. I mean, we've talked to people who've like worked on certain things. I'm trying, and you know, and authors and stuff. But today on the show, we do have the icon Kirk Franklin, the Reverend
Living
Kirk
legend.
Franklin, the choir director, yes. The songwriter. Goodness gracious! So he's on the show. He's got a new podcast himself. Good Words. This is before the interview, but we're recording this right after we got off the call with him. And let's just say things went in an unexpected direction. I hope y'all like dueling pianos. I'll say that much as a little teaser. So this was very sweet. This is something that I think we're going to probably try to do a little bit more on the show, where we talk to the people that we've talked about on the show and just get their take, get their thing. And you know what? This is the same thing in the sense of like when we have guests on who believe a certain thing or don't believe a certain thing, we're not trying to change our mind. This applies to Kirk too. Like Kirk and us, I think agree on a lot of stuff. We probably disagree about a lot of stuff, but we loved talking with him and getting his perspective on joining our industry, our space, which is podcasting.
He
was begging to come on the show, and so we obliged. So yeah, so we hope you enjoy this little conversation we had with Kirk Franklin. Caroline, I think without further ado, it's time. And you know, booking guests on this show, it's such a dynamic range of experience. Sometimes we're begging people to come on the show. Sometimes they beg us to come on the show. They say, GCF, I need the career bump. This is my way to do it.
We have to beat them back with the stick. We say, no, no.
And in today's case, that is absolutely not the case. So without further ado, let's introduce our close personal friend right now. Friends and folks, he's an up-and-coming gentleman from Texas, a gospel musician. You may know him from his standards, Stomp, Revolution, Melodies from Heaven. Everybody give it up for Kirk Franklin!
Oh my God.
Chair dancing, Caroline.
Embarrassing myself.
Here we are. Oh man!
What's up, yo?
Hello.
That was a great introduction.
Wow,
that was good.
Thank
that
you, sir.
That made me feel special.
That means a lot coming from you.
That makes me feel like I can go out and sell a couple of cassettes of my music.
Yeah. You're here to busk your cassettes and like just like boxes of stuff you got in the attic, right?
A handful.
You can start an eBay
that
page.
Makes me feel-
Sign them. It's good. It's all good.
Yes, that is giving me hope. How are y'all doing today?
We're great. I mean, we're just so honored to be blessed by your presence, sir, and to just have a nice little chat. We're all sipping our teas here on the
Man.
It's a nice cozy time on GCF.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, yes, I don't know about you, Kevin, but I have been unable to sit down all day from pure excitement and joy at meeting the Kirk Franklin. So I'm feeling very good today. I've got a lot to talk to you about personally.
Yeah. Wait, what was first on the agenda for you, Caroline?
I hope I don't let you down. I hope I don't let you down.
It's truly impossible for you to do that.
No, by showing up and sipping tea on camera and on mic, you've already not let us down on the podcast.
Yeah.
How's your heart, sir? Come on.
I'm doing good, man.
I think this is a good track for us. I think any question I ask, you should answer in the form of whatever you play on the piano.
Yes.
That's good.
That's call and response. From what I understand from the gospel tradition, of course, Caroline and I, as you can see, are very well-versed and rich in gospel history.
Long history of that myself.
What would have been greatest if he would have said, you know, for me as a black man, if you would have said that about yourself, I would have loved, let me tell you, that would have blessed my soul, you know, coming from where I come from as a black man in the history of gospel music that I was raised in. Let me tell you, tears of joy would have rolling down my
I think I speak for my community when I say that gospel music has had a huge impact on all of us. Yeah.
And, you know, people like us, Kirk, we understand.
All three of us know
how this thing works.
This is so good. Oh, this is blessing me, this level of foolishness and joy. This is so good. I love y'all. I'm enjoying this. How did you guys even come up with even considering me to be on the show? How was I even considered to even be on the show?
Well, we're going to give you a little peek behind the curtain. I mean, the truth is, this is not the first time you've been on the show. We've talked about you many, many times on the show. This is a podcast where we talk about Christian pop culture, including Christian music, including gospel music, including Kirk Franklin. So you have been a topic
not
of discussion.
Not to mention Joyful Noise and the American Bible Challenge.
Oh, that's true.
We've also talked about on this show as well.
Oh, my gosh.
We've kind of just gone down the filmography. Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
It's hard to find things we haven't talked about that you have done.
Forgot about those. Man, thank you. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad to be here.
Well, you know, and it's interesting, too, because we have guests on the show, and usually the guests we have on, they talk about something that meant a great deal to them, something like, I don't know, whatever, an episode of VeggieTales or some album that meant a lot to them. And we've had a couple of people come on and talk about your music in particular. And it is a thing where you are at a place now where I think either passively and actively, you have raised a generation of young people on your music. Your music was the soundtrack for, you know, at this point, hundreds of thousands, millions of people growing up, children, and it means a great deal to them, and the kind of message of hope and love and your version of gospel music is extremely influential to people. And I'll say this too, because this is a show in which we talk to people who are part of the church, we talk to people who are no longer part of the church, people who are curious about the church, and even the people for whom church is not a day-to-day part of their lives anymore. Your music still means something meaningful to them. And I think that's something we wanted to communicate to you today.
Well, first of all, you handed me my AARP card when you said that I've raised a generation.
That's
what you did. You made me feel like I have on a pair of the pins that I need to go see. But hold on. But the sexy kind.
I was going to say the style of the Depends. Yeah. Where did you find them?
It's a very thin line at the back. Yes, I understand. I can see the cover shoot now, actually.
You know what? This is going to be a great, this is wonderful. I'm already in love with you guys because y'all are nuts like me. This is great. But, you know, you know, it is always interesting to hear what type of contribution that you've been part of somebody's journey, you know, whether at something at a distance or things that were intentional, just because you never know that you are part of something that kind of becomes you know, part of the lexicon of a transformation process for people. And you know, that's a lot. That's a lot to hold on to. It's a lot to digest. It's a lot to hold to your bosom, but not hold it, you know, to bow your head to it, but to understand the danger of that as well. And, you know, I have tried to do this awkward dance with that beautiful statement. You know, a lot of times I've stepped on my partner's feet, you know, sometimes I've led more than I followed, you know, and you know, still trying to get the steps right. I'm still learning how to get that waltz right, because it is an interesting position, because you are an ambassador of the guy, but you're not the guy, you know, and to sometimes have to remind yourself, you're not the guy, you know, is because you have to be reminded of that when you're in the business meetings or you're at the award shows. You know, you've got to beat yourself upside the head to remember, now, you know, you're just going here speaking on behalf of the guy, but you're not the guy.
Right.
You know, and a lot of successes and failures in that that weird marriage.
Yeah. Yeah. That feeling of like, oh, I know that I've had an impact on people that I don't even know. And I have to, like, you know, enjoy the feeling of that while also and incorporate that into my sense of self while staying humble. And mm-hmm. like you said, being aware of the danger of that and how quickly that can go to your head or like mm-hmm. create this endless need for validation from the strangers mm-hmm. and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So you must
so
be
true.
Like an expert on that at this point.
Oh, God, no. Oh, God, no. I am a recovering addict of the glory. You know what I mean? Is that I think I spent my entire career in glory therapy and with glory counseling, you know what I mean? You know,
yeah.
To try to, you know, try to posture yourself as a manager, but not an owner, mm-hmm. you know, and, you know, it's an ongoing lesson.
Yeah.
Ongoing.
No, and I like that that's the answer too. I think we would have been very off put where it's like, yeah, yeah, thank you. I have been nailing it for years now. That was the reaction to that particular statement. I'd be like, yeah. Oh, really? Okay. We did want to talk to you because we know you're launching a podcast of your own. I assume that's why you've come on here, is to ask us for advice on how to do it.
Yeah, we've kind of been in the game for a while, so yeah, tips and tricks, we've got them.
So no, we understand all your questions. Yeah, but we would love to hear your experience making the show.
Yeah.
No, well, you guys being experts in the space know that it's a new muscle. You know, that it's a different kind of muscle, that it is it's a lesson of like I am very uncomfortable asking for requests. Mm-hmm. I don't ask for tickets to concerts. Is I don't ask for backstage passes. I feel so weird. It's
Are
like
you
I feel
serious?
Like I'm, I feel like, man, ask my wife. Like if a like if an artist comes to town that my kids want to see, and I may you know have a little hookup, it is the most uncomfortable call. Oh, it feels so nasty. Hey, I want to know if I can it's me, Kirk. Hi, Kirk.
Oh my God,
Kirk Franklin.
Kurt, is that Kurt?
Revolution, Kurt.
Revolution. Kurt.
You perform a verse of it to remind them.
GP, are you with me, Kurt?
Oh yeah,
Kirk Franklin. Yes, I'll hold. Yes, I'll hold.
Oh my gosh. Oh, people.
Yeah.
I know
yeah,
what you're saying.
Yeah,
so the podcast must be marked with a lot of, you know, booking guests and asking people to be on
the
show.
Calling in some favors. Yeah.
Yeah, I will say, even for us and what you must be experiencing, it's almost like asking people on dates or something where it's like, I promise it'll be a nice time and we'll have fun.
And I promise I'll keep gum in my mouth so my breath won't stink. Yeah. It's yeah. So, you know, that is the first hurdle for me that is very difficult, because a lot of these friendships that I have with people are friendships that I have built with them having requests of me. Mm. Not me having requests of them. Somebody wants me to, you know, to do a gospel song on their record, or somebody may have questions, or somebody want to do life, or somebody may have a song that, you know, that I've done that really blessed them, you know, and they may want me to come backstage and pray before the concert, or, you know, so it's always me in service. But for me to be in a position to, hey, I have a podcast and I wanna and I yeah yes I'll hold.
you know, okay, if you're gonna do impressions of Kevin, you have to license his likeness. Oh, okay.
Come on, I mean, yes, that's fair.
Oh yeah, I can play the piano. Yes. Kevin's got his too.
Oh
yeah, if you really want to do this, we can do this.
We're going to have a piano battle.
Yes,
on
do
Zoom
it.
With a 1.5 second delay.
Please.
Which everything will sync up.
Yeah, it'll work out.
Oh, gracious. Well, you said it's like training a new muscle. I mean, what do you feel like is the most surprising? We should mention the name of the podcast is called Good Words. And as of this episode coming out, it just launched this week. So people can check it out wherever podcasts are found.
And go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to ask, like, what's the most interesting, most surprising thing maybe about, you know, doing anything where obviously you're used to being in the public eye. You've hosted television shows before, you're obviously gifted at being on stage, but having intimate kind of one-on-one conversations on your podcast, what have you found to be the most surprising thing about doing that on a regular basis?
Well, you know, as I can be very candid with you, having conversations for me are the easiest part, is because that's very much part of my nature.
Yeah.
Is I'm a very inquisitive person. So having dialogue, I promise to you, the most difficult thing about everything about a podcast is the request.
Yeah.
It's the asking friends, and you know, and I can be very honest with you also, you know, a lot of it also has to do it just to be fair to this conversation, I already come into this platform with my own childhood insecurities, you know, so like rejection and the fear of rejection is a super like somebody really may be busy and may not be able to do it at that time, but I'll take that as, oh my God, I'm not that, you know, and I'll let it crash and burn me. But that's my childhood stuff, you know, and so that's why it's such a big part of how difficult it is because for me to put myself out and to ask requests of people, it is not something that I've ever done before in my life. It's I don't ask people for anything.
Yeah, it's really stretching you in that way.
Yeah. And you know, fear is a form of pride. So, you know, a lot of it can also be centered in pride too. You know, and it's not the type of pride of, you know, it's I think I'm this, I'm, you know, it's just that you're so worried about the rejection that the rejection itself becomes an idol. But I can tell you is that I have enjoyed having opportunities to talk to people that are not in the world that we live in about either maybe why they're not, why they were, why they left, what's their idea, how does that impact their lives, how do they walk that out. And, you know, having these bigger conversations of faith and culture is a very unique conundrum. You know, because faith and culture are not necessarily synonymous. And so to be able to make people feel comfortable and not judged about where they are on their journey and how their passing how it's molded them into their belief systems of how they perceive God to be now. And it just shows me how damaging religion has been. And how much work there is to be done to peel back all of the leaves to be able to reveal what it was originally intended to be, and to try to be able to rebuild that trust and that narrative so that people can come to find him. I'm quite sure the way that the three of us have found him, you know, yeah. this perfect God that seeks out jacked up people.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, Caroline, I got a question for you.
Yes.
How is your social battery right now? Are you feeling drained? Do you got a lot of energy right now? Where are you at with things as we speak today?
Well, you know, when you're pregnant, famously, your social battery is endless, actually, because you're powered by a baby battery.
It's like someone slaps a mag charger onto your phone.
Exactly.
And you can go for like 24 hours more.
I am the U.S. Marines of taking down social situations. I feel incredible all the time. So yeah, that's where I'm at. What about you?
Wow. Well, I'm feeling a little drained. And sometimes it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, which is maybe the zone I'm in right now. Mm. And for me, spreading myself too thin is like going to a lot of like Garfield events recently that have been happening over town.
Oh,
with
yeah.
The new movie coming out.
You get so excited about those. You got to spread those out a little more.
I know. And I need to really protect my energy and stuff. But, you know, it's worth asking ourselves, what's the right amount of socializing and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Maybe you need a little me time, a little alone, introverted time. But either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. So things like tuning into yourself, feeling and understanding what you want and need yourself, and then being able to communicate that to those around you, and then most especially to yourself.
Well, if you can't get pregnant immediately, that sounds like a pretty good solution as a backup.
And again, I think I might have even said this before. If I could get pregnant, I would, just to understand what it's like to have even like boundless energy that
right.
can kind of propel me into
to feel
like
feel as incredible as to, you could feel.
To exercise more, mm-hmm. to be working out like 3 hours a day.
Exactly.
Working 9 hours a day on top of that, and then
good
going
brain.
Going out 2 hours. Yes, such a good brain on top of that. So if you're thinking about starting therapy, maybe give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. If you don't like the first person you get, don't worry, there's another one on the docket. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GoodChristianFun today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
10%?
.com/GoodChristianFun. You got some thoughts on that 10%?
That's a good deal.
It is.
The
I agree.
The first month?
And especially because 10% is where I'm feeling my battery is right now. That's BetterHelp.com/GoodChristianFun.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers. Aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
It sounds like a lot of this stuff is an exercise in humility, too, because it takes one. You're talking about like the humility it takes to like put out these requests and ask things of people and favors. And then two, it takes a great deal of humility just to receive some of this stuff in conversation
yeah.
and be able to listen openly and sincerely without defensiveness, without a posture of attack or offense.
Or trying to fix their story or make it more compatible with what you've been experiencing and stuff too. Because we've talked to quite a people for similar reasons too. And I mean, everyone has a very reasonable reason why they have left or why they have stayed, you know, and what their experiences have been. And yeah, it can be quite sacred to hear what they've shared or what's been hard or what's been joyful too. And it takes a lot of tongue biting to just let someone do that, you know, and just reflect back on them. And is that kind of your dream for your podcast? Is like, or tell me what your dream is. Like, tell me what would be like
the vision,
the best thing about it. Well,
you know, this probably will not rest well within the halls of traditional theological scholarship, you know, and you know, it's not the most academic approach, I'm quite sure, but it is really to show culture how dope God can be. It really is to be able to find the relevance of this conversation that at times can be made a joke, that can be off-putting, but to be able, whether by personal experiences or by connecting the dots. For example, I don't know if I was on The Breakfast Club with Charlemagne the God.
Our peers.
I love you. I love you, bro.
Hey, you too, Kirk. Wonderful.
And you're wonderful. And you're so quick. You're
I don't mean
quick.
To interrupt.
Bravo.
So.
I love this guy. And I was having a conversation about how Europe did not influence Africa, but Africa influenced Europe in the fundamental teachings of Christianity that predated Constantine by 200 years. And Charlemagne was shocked to know that. He said, I thought Constantine created Christianity. I said, no, Christianity existed 2 centuries before Constantine's rule. You had black men that in the sub-Saharan parts of North Africa that were the founders of what we understand as expository theology. Augustine, Origen, you had Clement of Alexandria, Tertullian. These were all men of color. And he was shocked to death because some of the revisionist history that's been passed down to even men and women of color has been the influence of Europeans' engagement of Christianity. And so, which has often been off-putting to black and brown people. And so I love having those type of conversations that they can shed light on. Nah, son. You got to peep this move right here. This is the real truth. And this is not truth to try to make an elitist society or community of black and brown people, but it's to be able to give the context of here is the origin of what was created, and to have influential people in popular culture get that type of information, you hope that that can be transferable and you can see it impact the environments around them.
Yeah, so positive change, empathy forward, it sounds like.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, so much of the American church, especially the white church, has reformatted a lot of Christianity to serve white supremacy in like big ways, you know, and then also in subtle ways too. And like for you even to just make or remind people, you know, the accessibility of this faith and the roots in so many people of color that formed this, that majority formed this, you know, faith that now has landed in this very strange commodified version in our laps, you know, like that's a special thing for you to get to do too.
And I just want to also be able to say even to your listeners that it is not my goal for that to be the modus operandi for my ministry or for my approach in life, is to be able to create some type of class within the framework of our faith. It is more than anything, really more than anything, is that the weaponization of Christianity on a particular race of people is what continues to allow that community to not get a chance to embrace the true love and understanding of who Jesus is, because there was a weaponized version that was used to marginalize and to punish a certain group of people. So that's the goal. It's not the goal to try to paint Jesus to be a savior of one race of people. Jesus died for everybody and is the king of everybody, and everybody has an equal seat at the foot of the cross. So I just want to clarify to all my brothers and sisters listening that that is not the heart. That was just an example of something that I'm hoping within certain conversations with people that have such greater platforms within pop culture, that the idea of Jesus that continues to have a negative connotation connected to it. For example, last Tuesday, it really broke my heart as these men and women were seizing the Capitol to see signs among them about Jesus. And I'm thinking, what Bible are they reading? What in the world? What scripture are they getting to be able to justify this? And I think that is very important for people to understand that are looking from the outside in at anybody that's found says as a Christian, that's just a whole bunch of lunatic and fools. Then no, there is substantive truth to our belief. And some of us are really trying to bring that back to the conversation, that we can have the conversation not only in the pew, but we can have it at Princeton as well.
I know. It's an interesting thing, because I feel like, yeah, even now, sometimes my posture is to sort of like reclaim that thing that gets lost sometimes in the conversation, where it's like, we're doing this for Christ. And then people, you know, obviously kill people in Christ's name. People do horrendous things in Christ's name. And it's hard to, I don't know, like have this posture essentially of like, well, obviously I'm not going to defend him to be like, oh, sorry, those are the bad ones and I'm actually good and don't worry, you can trust me. But at the same time, acknowledge the truth and the hurt that religion can have in that context and still try to live my life and exude kindness, empathy, sincerity, and other, you know, fruits of the spirit, for lack of a better term.
That's beautiful. Yes, and I commend you. And I think this is the time. I think that the word that was used earlier, just about humility, is I think that that's the way moving forward. Is I think that there has been an elitist approach that has happened over the last 50 years, that we share Jesus from a table looking down upon the people, instead of being in a hospital bed right next to them.
Hey, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't know I was logging on to a sermon on this Zoom call, but here we are.
Ooh.
Here we go. Okay.
Didn't know we were going to hear the word today, and we did.
not quite.
Oh my gosh.
It's like watching a war between a tank and a slingshot.
Both really, like right neck and neck players.
Oh, what a disgrace. I feel disrespectful even doing that.
This is great. Please don't stop. This is wonderful. I love you.
Oh my God.
Oh, we do want to be respectful of your time though. And
No. Let's keep it going. Let's keep it going. This is good.
Okay,
just keep going until you're good.
Okay. Go. Well, I mean, just kind of on the subject of what Caroline was touching upon, and how in some ways the American church seems particularly well positioned to uphold white supremacy, there are certain factors of that, and even the Christian music industry, that we get fascinated by here on the podcast and so many of our conversations, and even the sort of distinction between CCM, contemporary Christian music, and gospel music. And, you know, essentially dividing, or I don't know if there's another word for dividing, like particular classes of people in that sense. And you having a lot of experience kind of straddling that, in the sense of like, you've won, you know, somewhere north of 2 million Dev Awards or something around that number. You know, you've even appeared on the cover of CCM.
Oh, we had it right there.
Where'd you find that at?
This is, for the listener at home, I'm holding up a copy from August 1996 of contemporary Christian music.
Look at that suit. I mean, this absolutely is working that.
This is, I can barely I hear you that? Over how loud this suit is on the cover of CCN. Smoke it.
Kirk Franklin in the mask.
I can barely, do you know how good of a diss that was? I can barely hear you because of the noise that is coming off of this loud jacket.
I think that was also probably the most color that CCM magazine has ever had on its cover, like in multiple ways.
Double entendre. Double entendre, double
entendre. You know what I'm saying? Oh, wow.
That was so good. Oh, y'all are killing it today. Oh, please. Listen, please be my friend.
Yeah. Deal. Yeah,
please be
oh,
my
God.
Friend.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Down
no,
and down.
Agree.
We're starting the group text after this call.
I'm moving to
y'all
Texas.
Y'all are so good. Jesus, y'all look good.
Oh, that's
where y'all based?
We're both in Pasadena, California. I grew up in Houston, Texas, though, so not too far from
did
there.
You really?
Yeah. Grew up in Kingwood. Really? Kind of next door neighbors with Israel Houghton in Kingwood, Texas. But yeah,
man.
So there's that connection. But I did want to ask you just kind of about that particular position that you've been in and other similar artists have been in. But I feel like I think of you as sort of a symbol of this, where it's like not playing both sides, but just kind of like straddling this unenviable position of being someone who represents one thing to one community, another thing to another community, and not feeling compromised within that. I think about a year or two back, and you were vocal about this, but when you gave an acceptance speech at the Dove Awards and they cut down part of what you said because you were speaking to racial justice and the killing of an unarmed person by a cop. And so I'm just wondering, especially in 2021 and how we're having so many more explicit conversations about these things, how you sort of move forward in this, how you've reconciled your role in this, and kind of like what your experience has been.
Man, great question. And I want to reemphasize, not because I feel that anything ever gets lost in translation. I'm only reemphasizing because that's the posture of my heart.
Yeah.
My heart is for all people. As I love people, I am those that are really close to me, Toby Mac, Bart from Mercy Me, the King and Country guys. I mean, you know, even Amy Grant, just people that I've done life with for a long time. I'm trying to think who else has been a good friend with me in the CCM community for years. What's my man that's got the smoky voice? Is it Matt from Not Casting Crowns?
Third Day?
The other
group. Mac Powell.
Third Day.
Mr.
Yes,
Mac Powell.
Yes, yeah. Oh. Yeah, his voice voice sounds like cigarettes and Hennessy.
Ooh.
Yeah, as I love his voice, man. I know, I'm sorry, Christians. Sorry.
I'm good.
You know, these are guys that know me personally, you know, and so they know my heart and they know that I love people genuinely. And so I just feel as a Christian, you know, and I've tried to align myself with always sober theology. You know, my father in the faith is Dr. Tony Evans, you know, who is one of the most, you know, leading theological minds that we have of the 21st century, who's an African-American that has spent the majority of his ministry in non-African-American communities. And so a very influential man that I've modeled my life behind, his humility, integrity, and character. I just, when I read the text and when I really try to model my life before the Lord, I believe that Christians should be leading the charge of what Jesus would do in the public square. We should not be getting our cues from the world. The world should be getting their cues from us, especially when it comes to the areas that we have clear blueprints about how to maneuver. And when we see our brothers and sisters dying in the streets, hurting in the streets, and continue to cry for help and praying for someone to understand the plight of their continued struggle in this yet to be United States of America, I believe that it would, if I have a house full of four kids and one of my kids says to me every month, every year, I don't feel like you love me. I feel like that you don't pay attention to me. You never come to my games. You come to everybody else's games. You don't, congratulate me on my homework. You don't check on me. For me to just overlook those cries and to say, okay, oh, you know what? That kid is just spoiled. It's, you know, you've got food. You got video games. You got your own room. What are you complaining about? And I don't take the time to hear the pleas of my child. Then there's a disconnect in my heart as a father. And for my white brothers and sisters to continue for generations to hear the cries of black and brown people and to not be engaged in what that is I don't see scripture defend that. It's I don't see scripture walk over that, or I don't see the text minimize that issue. And so because I don't, when I see us doing it in real time, it confuses me. As I get very confused when I see tears rolling down the cheeks of people with their hands up and black men are getting, you know, knees on their throats. And the first thing Christians ask is, was he compliant? I don't get it. I don't get it. And I'm not, and again, I'm not, it's, there's nothing in my heart about race baiting. I just want to be like Jesus. I just want to love Jesus. That's all I want to do. And it breaks my heart that the credibility of Christianity in this country continues to be attacked because of the actions of his kids.
And it is interesting how compartmentalized that vision of what justice looks like has become for the modern American Christian, where that becomes a social justice issue, which is something you put over there. That doesn't touch the rest of our justice.
Political.
Which is like, that's politics. Yeah. I don't want to talk about politics. Literally, the race of a person is politics to me, so let's not do anything with that. Let's focus on kingdom justice and whatever that looks like and is defined as. And yeah, I think you even see that in how some of the industry works too, and the sort of like lines that get drawn within that.
You can't blame, you know, ignorance anymore, or like, oh, if only they just haven't met enough. It's like they have access to the internet, you know, they could talk, they could find out, you know? And so you pointed out, it's kind of a willing blindness and something that if Christians are the true believers in justice and of bringing love to this earth and peace to the community and creating unity and making sure that every single person has what they need in a material sense too, not even just spiritually. You don't really believe in that, you know, like you believe in it for maybe yourself or your family, but you don't really believe in it, you know. And I think
bravo to you too, as I think it is really courageous of you to be able to speak your truth and to stand in it and not to assimilate just because I'm a black man on your podcast, but it really reads very pure and genuine. And the reason why I think it does read pure and genuine is because we all know at its core, it's truth. So enough of that. I want to see that yellow jacket a little bit more.
I need to see that yellow jacket. We're silent, not because we nothing to, we didn't think that was not, but it's just like, I can't add anything to what you've just said. It was so beautifully put.
And quick punch up Kirk Franklin on what you said about racial justice.
No, let me put the cherry on top of that personally. You know, it's just,
I just think, first of all, I think someone, not calling any names, but I think someone is jealous because they don't have a yellow jacket like that themselves. I'm not going to call any names. I just think that you're...
Someone usually wears black, navy, and gray and hasn't put on a yellow in a long time, and we'd like to see.
Maybe someone has a big fur mink coat that he could put on and really flex on this interview.
Wait, put it on, Kevin. Put it on.
All right.
Let's
I'm sorry to my Lord.
And Kirk, would you mind doing a little interlude while we wait?
What is...
Anyway, where were we?
Did he put it on?
Now who's got the coat now?
Let's see. I'm trying to think of the theme music for Shaft.
Shaft.
You don't.
What up, Cat Daddy? What up, Cat Daddy? What's up, baby boy? How you doing, player?
This may surprise you, but this is the first time I've been compared to Shaft today.
Oh my God.
Today.
Today, yeah. No, Kirk, I think it would be better if you played the Muppet theme song.
Okay.
It's a little bit more fitting to Kevin's style.
What is the Muppet theme song? How does it go? How does it go?
It's time to light the lights. It's time to dance on the Muppet show tonight.
Oh, I don't know that one, but what's the one that Kermit always sings when he's sad?
Oh, Rainbow Connection?
Yeah.
One day we'll find it. The rainbow connection.
Yeah, you know that one doesn't go with the coat.
Oh, I could die tonight. Be happy.
I knew this is where this interview would go. I knew when we logged this ends with me wearing a coat and Kirk Franklin playing.
I need for you to know. I need for you to know, seeing a white man in a mink coat. Let me tell you something.
Is it a
this
crime?
Lets me know. No, this lets me know that 2021 is going to be okay.
Okay.
2021 is going to be okay.
Are you sure it's not a signifier of the end times finally approaching?
This is the fourth and fifth Christ horseman of the apocalypse.
Oh, this is blessing my soul.
I think that
soul.
Is true.
And he looks so comfortable in it. Like, there's a confidence.
Oh, yeah. This is easy for me. This is relaxed for me. I feel safer now, actually.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Kirk, but before we let you go, I got to ask, are you aware of certain Kirk Franklin memes that exist in the world? I'm sure maybe your kids have shown one
some
or two to you.
Some of them.
One of them.
Show me some.
That is, I mean, is pretty influential on both Caroline and myself, and obviously a generation of young people that you've raised, as we said.
I can't believe you're doing this. I'm so excited.
Well, I mean, there's the classic, y'all mind if I praise God meme. I don't know if you've seen this, Mr. Have you seen this, Kirk?
Yes, yes. Okay. I've seen this.
So, and just for the listener at home, a young gentleman pulls up. And he goes wild.
Iconic.
I mean, the purity that a video like that has. Just two boys gassing each other up, enjoying your music.
It's one of your greatest gifts.
That's got to feel good to have given any like sort of contribution to this moment in time existing.
I can't take you serious in this coat. I can't take you serious.
Well, all right. No,
go, say, go
about
to the
culture.
Go to the next one. Go to the next one.
Well, okay. And this is less of a worldwide meme. This is more of a personal meme, but it needs to be shared. Unfortunately, this is something we stumbled upon with a guest of ours a couple of years ago. Actually, that's how long we've been discussing you on the show. And now, if you go to YouTube, there's plenty of covers of your music, obviously. I'm sure you've seen some, and by more reputable artists than others. But there is, in fact, a puppet cover of one of your tunes called Melodies from Heaven, of course, your standard. There's a whole puppet ministry that does enact you. And this Ernie puppet is you in the recording.
Listen. Wow.
And just look how much Ernie's losing his mind.
You can tell that Big Bird. You could tell Big Bird didn't get the same amount of money as everybody else. He has a little salty.
No, he looks a little upset, right?
Yeah.
He's giving half effort.
But you know what? Yeah. You can tell that he feels like that he should have been doing my part.
Yep. No, he's definitely got some understudy syndrome.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
gracious.
My gosh. Yeah. What a privilege to waste your time like that.
Yes. Yeah. What a colossal waste of Mr. Franklin's time on the Good Christian Fun podcast.
This was great. You don't understand. This is wonderful. We need to be praying for Big Bird, though, because I think that that could really scar him.
Yeah,
yeah,
we
well,
need
speaking
to
of pride issues, yeah, come big head.
All right, and now we link up every Muppet to one of the seven deadly sins. Big Bird is pride.
It's pride. Ernie, sloth.
Oscar the Grouch. Gluttony, I guess? He's eating all that garbage all the time.
Oh, my God. That was such a big wish fulfillment moment for us. You for humoring
and, us. And what is the other one? Count, what's his name? Count? Count?
Just the Count. No moniker.
The Count.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of let's see, like
lust.
Like he lied. Lust. There's a lot of lust in the Count.
I can tell.
The Count,
yeah. Yeah.
The Count has lust. He struggles with lust.
Hey, why is he counting so much? Why do numbers matter so much to him? Okay.
The Count struggles with lust. This
no, he's
so
working
good.
On it. He has accountability. Like, he's getting better. Yeah.
He has accountability. He's working on it.
Elmo's his accountability partner. But
that is so funny.
Oh, my gosh, lazy. Kirk. You are so funny. This is such a delight to talk to you.
No, well, this was wonderful. Thank heaven. Y'all for making my day. As I had a really, really, really busy day today. And
yeah.
This... Y'all set this up to be beautiful. You know, it's so funny, as I was telling my wife a minute ago, is you know, you always ask God for more because, you know, like many people, the pandemic, a lot of stuff shut down. And you know, and it's like the world came to a halt. And I didn't do well with that. March and April, I did not do well. I mean, the level of depression and anxiety, like I had to start going back to therapy because it was just I couldn't handle because I'm a guy that is always moving. And when I say moving, I'm not even talking about moving, you know, doing big things. I'm just saying whether it's, you know, just, you know, doing something, building an ark or something, you know, you know, and to not have a chance to be who God kind of wired me to be, it was difficult. It was difficult. And so to be able to meet some brothers and sisters today that just reminded me that, you know what, that we're on the right path, right? You know, that we don't have to live our life looking like we don't have love and joy and excitement, you know, because you're seeing so many people not enjoy the Christian life. And to be on a conversation with you guys, and we are having a chance to just be human beings and just getting a chance to be reminded of how beautifully fragile and just fixer-uppers we are, right? And to laugh at that, and to laugh with that, you know, it is really, really encouraging. And as an African American man to be here with you, you two even give me a sense of hope that there's still a community. There's still a community. Yeah, the louder ones get all the attention, and they get all the frontline stories, but there's still a community that gets it. You know what I mean? You know, that we all, you know, that we all still believe in something bigger than all of this hell around us. So thank you for just giving me this reminder. It's a beautiful moment.
Oh my gosh.
Well, God bless you for saying that, sir.
Deeply moving. And thank you for bringing the silliness. Silliness is sacred too. And I think, like you said, it's essential to living life on this earth because too much is too funny.
Yeah.
And too much of it is too sad. Yeah. But we're glad we get to have you entertaining a little bit, even if it's over Zoom.
Mm-hmm. It's hospitality. Oh. Come on.
Oh, we are the world.
Let's talk in then. Choice we're making, we're saving our own lives.
Kevin.
Oh, sorry.
You and me.
Oh my gosh.
Check out Kirk's new podcast, Good Words with Kirk Franklin, and he'll have more good words for you over there, wherever you find your podcasts. Kirk, we love you. God bless you. Thank you for everything you've done. Thank you for
Oh, you know what? Oh,
yes.
And we just have one issue, though. My podcast can only be heard on my cousin Ricky and nephew's third uncle's cousin brother's channel. He just got out of jail.
Okay.
And you gotta, yeah, so, and you can only hear it on Tuesday nights, but between 2:30
yeah.
and 4:30 a.m.
And then it expires, yeah.
On the West Coast.
Okay.
On the West yeah. Coast. Okay.
Yeah, we'll put that
in the show notes for that and just let people know there is a time limit to this. Yeah, there's like a window. And if they don't get it.
No, and like podcasts, it's the best part of it is the accessibility. And yeah, I'd love to hear you.
And the fact that you're making obstacles is awesome.
Cousin, my cousin Rufus is nephew's third child, uncle's sister's brother's. Facebook page.
Okay. Well, I'm glad we could lift them up too. And we want to make sure that they get their credit.
And they have recently been banned from Facebook, but we're hoping that the ban is lifted by the time this episode comes out.
Please pray.
That is so good.
Oh, my God. Gracious. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Kirk, for the chat.
Thank you all so much. It's an honor. It's an honor. Bye, y'all.
This is great. This is great.
That was a HeadGum podcast.